You know, I just realized something. I just realized today's April 20th. Yesterday was the 19th. I didn't even say anything about this morning. I feel embarrassed. When we talk about this, you know, like when Patrick Henry, the anniversary. Lowell's about to come on. I have to say something. April 19th, 1775. That's more or less, that's basically the demarcation of when America started. You know the poem that was put 50 years after the Revolution. There was a marker put there in Lexington, Concord, by the rude bridge that arched the flood. There breezed April's flag unfurled. Here, once embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world. And literally, ladies and gentlemen, that's what it was. The shot heard round the world. The British Empire wanted gun control in the area. They wanted control. And gun control was the straw that broke the camel's back. For the first time in American history, in the colonial history, that it just wasn't a local problem. There just wasn't a problem in Boston or a problem here. Word spread like wildfire throughout the towns, and people came from all over, farmers, preachers, I mean, everybody, to come to the aid that Concord was not going to give up their arms. John Hancock and Samuel Adams. Samuel Adams, who's the father of the Revolution, was there in hiding, and they wanted to protect him. America would not relent. Their life was not worth as much as freedom. And you cannot disarm me. God has ordained that we are sovereign and can make decisions for our life. And one of those decisions is to be armed. We will not be disarmed. We will not give in to this. And America basically started at that moment, just a couple weeks after Patrick Henry's prophetic, profound, illuminating, miraculous speech he gave at Richmond to the group of people who wanted to relent, who wanted to negotiate, who wanted to give in to Britain. And Patrick Henry said, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Your life is not worth as much as liberty. That's the American ideal, an American ideal. Your life is not worth as much as the Declaration of Independence. Your life is not worth as much as the Bill of Rights, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody listening to my voice today, your life is not worth as much as any of those things. So yesterday was the day. Today we will honor these people. We will honor them forevermore. Throughout history, as long as people have a recorded record of this, they will honor what our founding fathers did, and they will never be disparaged on my radio show or in front of me without something being said. They are heroes. They did the unthinkable. They did the impossible. And they have left us an inheritance. And it is the only thread that is keeping us from tyranny. What they did 250 about years ago, about a quarter of a century ago, what they did is the only thing between us and total tyranny. And you think, oh, that's a little dramatic. No, it's really pretty plain. Really. So God bless our founding fathers. God bless Patrick Henry. God bless the 9 men who died on the Lexington Green trying to stop Colonel Parker. Was it Colonel Parker? I don't even remember now. Is it Colonel? I don't remember now. They went through that bridge on the way to Concord. Samuel Whitmore, 83 years old, got stabbed. Some witnesses say 13 times. Half of his jaw got shot off. He stood up and loaded his muskets and ready to go again and wrapped a thing around his jaw. He wouldn't retreat. That's America. Dave in Pennsylvania, who's at, you know, reopened Pennsylvania. That's that spirit. That's America. Why is this the key? Why is America the key? Because that spirit is here. That spirit of liberty, the antithesis of globalism, the antithesis of a socialist takeover of collectivism, the antithesis is in your blood. It's not in the halls of our school. It's not in the halls of our universities. It's not even in our culture hardly anymore. But it's still in your blood, ladies and gentlemen. And you owe a debt to all of them. God bless you in your efforts to accentuate it. God bless those people 250 years ago. God bless them. God bless the United States of America, circa 1775. There we go. Our next guest... I had to say something about that. I forgot about the date. Our next guest is has become a real friend of the show. Love to have him on. Lowell Ponte, his writing style, if you've ever read it, it's incisive. It's simple. It's illuminating. A little like Samuel Adams. Lo Ponte. That's a high compliment. I mean, he's a good writer. Lo Ponte is a former Reader's Digest roving editor. He now writes for WorldNet Daily, among other things, and is just general observer of the human condition, especially from an American point of view. Always happy to have him on. Lo Ponte, welcome back to the Power Hour.
What an honor to have heard your address this morning, Daniel. And you are so right. It is in our bodies. I mean, there is such a thing as American exceptionalism. It's not just like Greek exceptionalism or whatever, as Barack Obama once said. What American exceptionalism means is that when this country was founded, only about 2% of people on the entire planet ever left the place where they were born and went somewhere else. But America is made up of people whose ancestors tore up their roots where they were in Europe and elsewhere and deliberately moved here seeking freedom and opportunity, seeking a world in which they and not some arbitrary feudal lord would have control of their lives. Our entire country was built on that. You know, I think back, this is not the first plague that humanity has faced. For example, in 1347, the Black Plague hit Europe, killed 30 to 60% of Europeans, and yet they then went on to have a baby boom. They completely rebuilt their population in only six generations. Feudalism began to die with that time of the plague because the feudal castles no longer meant anything. Workers were suddenly a very valuable commodity. A worker could bid against various employers to get higher wages for himself. That movement toward freedom eventually led to the Enlightenment, of which that moment on the Rude Bridge in Lexington and Concord, that was the I guess you would say, high point of the American experience, when we actually had the courage to stand against what then was the most powerful army in the world, an army of redcoats. And Americans were not only willing to do it, they won the battle. This you have to remember. The British had marched 25 miles inland from Boston to Lexington and Concord, as you said, to confiscate the shot and gunpowder belonging to the colonials. Even then, governments always prefer to have gun control. But in this case, the colonials would not cooperate. And when they were fired upon, when some of them were killed, the militias of all the self-sufficient communities thereabout came rushing to the scene, and the British, it suddenly dawned on them, were now 25 miles away from their base in Boston, and they had to get back. So in that march 25 miles back, they were torn to pieces by the colonials. Why? Because the colonials were not using British European battlefield-style muskets that were very easy to reload, but were not terribly accurate at long range. No, the colonials were using long rifles, Pennsylvania rifles, Kentucky rifles, that kind of weapon that could shoot out a squirrel's eye at 100 yards. That's what they were trained to do, was to hunt with their weapons, which were slow and difficult to reload. But once loaded, they could just stand back outside of the range of the British muskets and pick the British off as they tried to get back on the road. I think the British lost something like a third of all their men in that fight.
There were 700, yes. There were originally 700. They actually called for 700 more. There was a total of somewhere around 1,300 to 1,500 total that day.
Yes, and immediately the word erupted in Europe. If you go to America to fight for the king, you may very well die there. These are not helpless people like we're used to oppressing in Europe. These are people able and willing to fight back, and they are, if anything, better armed at that level than the British were. And so it was an amazing experience, and that was all because they had guns. They could fight. Of course, ultimately, they also had French allies, which made a tremendous difference. But beyond that, this indicates how different our country is, what American exceptionalism really means. But now, what are they trying to do with today's virus? In the first place, they're lying about it. We can talk about that at great length. But in the second place, They are trying to use it not to end feudalism, not to make people freer. They are using it to kill our economy deliberately, and then ultimately to turn us back into feudal serfs, to turn us back into the slaves of the ruling elite. And that's what this fight is really all about when it comes down to it. Oh, yes, you can die of COVID-19. You can die of this virus, no doubt about it. Why not? It, after all, probably emerged from a Chinese germ weapon laboratory. But it's amazing how many don't, and it's amazing that we're still being bombarded with statistics that are interesting, because if you look at the whole death pattern statistic, what you find is coronavirus is shown going up in the number of deaths, but the customary, the ordinary number of deaths every year that happen from flu, from other respiratory illnesses and so on, they have plummeted. And you know why that is? Because they are not counting people who have died of coronavirus. They have counted people who died with coronavirus. You know, if you ran a hospital in Montana, the federal government will pay you what amounts to a bonus of $300,000 for every patient who dies in your hospital of coronavirus. The CDC has put on the death certificates.
Hold on. Say that again. Say that again.
This varies, but the most extreme case is in Montana. In all of the states, however, hospitals are paid a bonus for every patient who dies in that hospital of coronavirus.
Wow.
So therefore, if there is a doubt as to whether your patient died of coronavirus or influenza or something else, you have a tremendous incentive to write down that he died of coronavirus.
Wow.
And as a result, you're getting a lot of deaths attributed to coronavirus that may or may not be coronavirus, or that where coronavirus could at most be a minor contributory factor to the death. But the statistics are being played with by all kinds of mechanisms like that. And I speak as someone who used to be the roving health editor for Reader's Digest.
Well, I was
not just speaking like the drunk at the end of the local bar. So,
let's go into that.
I am a veteran science writer.
I'm very concerned.
Therefore, I find it rather disturbing how this disease is being manipulated. Look at Nancy Pelosi and what she's doing, or look at what Democrats themselves are saying. James Clyburn, the Democrat majority whip in the House of Representatives, comes from South Carolina, the third most powerful Democrat in the House, the one who has just been named to head the new Stalin purge trial hearings into Trump between now and the election by Nancy Pelosi. Clyburn said that this is a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision. Governor Gavin Newsom of California, there is opportunity for reimagining a progressive era as it pertains to capitalism, thanks to the coronavirus infection. This is a fabulous, fabulous opportunity, as they see it, because the government can now give people orders, orders not based so much on science, because the science is still very much uncertain about things, very much inaccurate, but rather to base them on the old medieval standard of value, which is authority. If somebody in authority says something, you are to believe it. You are not to question it. That's why real science became such a change for this world. Because in real science, a scientist of one who disagrees or finds reason not to believe a scientific theory can challenge it. And other scientists actually have to take seriously what he says and evaluate it. Now we just wait for Dr. Fauci to hand down a pronouncement from Mount Sinai, and we are to bow down and worship at that and not challenge him, because people might die if you challenge him. Well, yeah, I hate to break this to people in the audience, but boys and girls, the death rate in our present species is 100%. You are going to die. The only question is how and how soon. And most of the people who are dying of coronavirus are people who already have serious health problems and are typically elderly. In fact, some Democrats have almost thrilled to coronavirus, because who is it killing? It's killing people who are elderly, who are male, and more than other groups, who are white, because the population of nursing homes in this country where these terrible mass deaths occur are mainly white. In other words, this is a disease killing Republicans, or people inclined to be Republicans. And, of course, Democrats are more than eager to help that if they're radical leftists. What do I mean? Well, a city councilwoman in Denver, for instance, and she's an example of the horror we'll be discussing later today, Denver City Councilwoman Candy Sidibaka has actually joined in a crusade of leftists there who say, if I do get coronavirus, I'm attending every MAGA, that is Trump rally, I can. Others have said they will deliberately try to infect Republicans with this virus. Now, in the case of Sidibaka's statement, if you attend a Trump rally of 10,000, as they were originally predicting the death rates of coronavirus, you would be sentencing to death about 300 people if you could infect everyone at a Trump rally. Of course, as Bernie Sanders has now found to his horror, one thing the virus has done is totally transformed democracy here. There's no more holding public rallies. There is no more kissing babies. There's no more shaking hands. There are very few of the personal things that political campaigning used to be based on. And so, in effect, Bernie Sanders, well, even though he was still in the race, got rained out in the seventh inning. And, of course, if that happens in a Major League Baseball game, what is it? Everything past the 5.5 or 6th inning. If the game is rained out, whoever's ahead wins. And if it happens, thanks to James Clyburn of South Carolina endorsing Joe Biden. Oh, by the way, Clyburn is a very close, never disagree with friend of Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, arguably America's number one anti-Semite. That's who endorsed Joe Biden. That's what kept Joe Biden's campaign alive, was an anti-Semite.
Excuse me. If you were Bernie Sanders' supporter right now, I mean, what? How can you have any confidence in the Democratic Party? I mean, you've basically been ignored and disenfranchised.
Oh, I meant to mention this Denver City Councilwoman. She is a Bernie Sanders supporter. The man who shot Congressman Steve Scalise and was ready to kill all the Republicans at that informal baseball game going on, stopped only because some Capitol Police had come along with
a gun.
Scalise. He was a Bernie Sanders supporter. I mean, on the left, you see insane violence.
We only got about 2 or 3 minutes before the break. Let me interject a question. I get emails when I say things like you just said, and they'll say, well, that's a little hard. I like Bernie. But it's pretty obvious that these people are raving on some level. They are just raving communists. I don't know what else to say. Am I wrong here, Lowell?
Well, as my old friend David Horowitz, who used to be a left-wing intellectual, you know, in fact, he was trained to be a Marxist scholar until one day he experienced some incidents and turned against the left. Up until then, he had been a New York Times best-selling author. The moment he turned against the left, the New York Times declared him a non-person. They wouldn't even include his books for review. And he had been a top 10 best-selling author up until then. This is typical of the left-wing media. But no, David says, inside every progressive, there is a totalitarian screaming to get out. They don't just disagree with people the way politics used to be here and have polite debate. They want to rule because the other side is evil. You have to understand, the progressives we're dealing with are not a political philosophy. They are an alternative religion. And they want to destroy all competing religions.
I'm glad you said it that way. I am so glad. We got about a minute before. I'm going to put something to you and then have you comment on the other side. Because this is, you know, again, I'm probably going to get emails, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. The biblical worldview, God, even Roman mythology, Zeus and Ares and all, it's the same dynamic. You have God and you have Lucifer character. God wants to give people free will, give some people divinity. We have something inside us that is grand, that is magical, for lack of a better word, that's divine. The Declaration of Independence then acknowledges that, and by law, that right or that endowment is to be protected. That is the law. Luciferianism, or Lucifer, says, no, God has condemned you to pain. God has condemned you to a life of servitude by your choice. If you just give me your choice, I'll make you happy. There's no reason for you to suffer. Your choice makes you suffer. Give me your choice, and then I'll take away all suffering. That's really what we're seeing, and that's kind of the same attitude with these progressives.
Yeah, and President John Adams in 1798 said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other.
That's a scary quote. I mean, that's a...
Yeah, since we're no longer necessarily a moral and religious people, how do we expect things to hold together?
Well, again, the music's going to start a second, but you having said that, obviously that's a very famous quote. John Adams would know, one of the absolute rocks of our founding fathers. I mean, I think we're barely holding on to that status of a moral and upright people. I mean, I think there's still a lot of us, or a lot of people who fall into that category, but just barely.
Yeah, and that's the challenge. I mean, to have an immoral people, you have to govern by some kind of totalitarianism, either 1984 or Brave New World. You either have to drug them or enslave them. Well, drugging them is enslaving them.
Or both.
And you notice
or
abortion clinics, the marijuana stores, and the alcohol stores are all kept open, while the churches and gun stores are locked up.
Oh, God. Stay tuned. Lowell Ponte, WorldNet Daily. You're listening to The Power Hour. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy, and Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are left to eat. Yum.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Everybody who is listening to this broadcast, please check out thepowermall.com. Thepowermall.com. Don't forget thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829. There is something there that you need. I mean, these are world-class products. There's a big difference between nutrients and vitamins and what have you, whether you buy them at Walmart or whether you buy them from us or you buy them, some other place. There's a big difference in the quality. And quality is everything when it comes to supplements and nutrients and knowledge. It's everything. I mean, there's tons of medical studies about faulty, inferior vitamin D. Oh, it doesn't do anything for you. Or faulty vitamin E. Oh, it doesn't do anything for you. Of course it doesn't. In fact, it has a net negative on you. Because your body has to work harder to even deal with the chemical version or the bad version of it. There you go. That's why you got to buy the good stuff. Buy from the good guys. And go look and study Dr. Llewellyn and all his work in England and all the study of the nutrients with selenium and what have you, vitamin D. These are essential. Iodine. Essential. Your body cannot function without them. And that's why we have so much dysfunction and dis-ease. Dis-ease, a state of uneasiness. So that's what we need. Anyway, thepowermall.com, thepowermall.com. Thank you so much for your support. Getting back to Lowell, we know with pretty much certainty that this virus is man-made. I mean, whether it was by accident or whatever, I mean, that's another story entirely. It's definitely man-made. So that starts to look at things in a whole different perspective. The way the governments are acting and coming out so forcibly, specifically the cities that have Democratic governors or the states that have Democratic governors are much more authoritarian than the ones that don't. That's odd. Like they're getting, their marching orders in the morning for in their Democratic mailbox or something. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird at the very least. I'm trying to be neutral here and just look at this. These are all true things. And then we see the economic effects and whatever measure. Even going by their numbers, the deaths we're seeing on this coronavirus don't seem to match with the economic pain that we're seeing. Even if you're going to make a trade-off, if you're just making a pragmatic decision, I don't know that that's worth it. And you say, well, every life matters. Sure it does. My cousin's life matters with her business. All the other people that, are going bankrupt. Do you don't think their life matters? You don't think their life's work matters? Of course it does. You're telling
me. Well, we have a vivid example of this, Daniel. Scientists will tell you that there is a kind of storm that occurs in the immune system of older, mature people when this virus is being fought. And it's that reaction of the body that kills them as much as the virus itself. I mean, it just triggers a crazed reaction in the immune system. And why is this relevant? This is relevant because we're seeing the economy destroyed, not lives, but livelihoods destroyed by the millions by a kind of social immune reaction to the virus, in which we say, oh, well, even though 70% of our GDP, or our gross domestic product, is based on consumers buying things, don't any of you go to the store. And if you're in Michigan under Gretchen Whitmer, even if I allow you to go to a store occasionally, you can only buy certain things at the store. You can go to Home Depot and buy a new faucet, but you can't buy a book to tell you how to put the faucet in. And God knows you can't go to the plant department in the same store and buy seeds so you might be able to plant your own food in your backyard. I mean, that's just how power mad a lot of these leftists are. Of course, Whitmer has a good reason. She wants to be Joe Biden's vice president. And so, having had no national experience, she's trying to become a national celebrity overnight by being a Caligula-like dictator in Michigan. I don't think she'll succeed at that, but who knows nowadays? The question is, do we still have the religious foundation that John Adams was talking about to maintain a free society? Well, a 2014 Pew Research Center study estimated that America number at as many as 1.5 million. Meanwhile, Christian belief, especially among leftward warped millennial generation people, has declined by more than 10% per decade. This decline has been sharpest among Democrats, which according to Pew fell from 72% Christian in 2009 to only 55% Christian in 2018.
Whoa.
Today, writes Pew, fewer than half of white Democrats describe themselves as Christians. And just 3 in 10 say they regularly attend religious services. More than 4 in 10 white Democrats are religious nuns, having no conventional religious belief of any kind. But they do believe in progressivism, which, as I said, began 200 years ago as an anti-religious movement. It was going to replace God and heaven with creating a heaven on earth, a new Eden. It was going to purge God, replace him with science, replace him with government, and science and government would then provide this wonderful future for all of us. And the problem is, you've seen what it's led to. It's metastasized into communism, into Nazism, and in America, into progressivism. I mean, it tends toward collectivism because it demands that everything be run by a little narrow elite on top who are superior to everybody else.
And they need everybody's
money. This is what happened
money.
In the Soviet Union, for example. They achieved what Milovan Jelic, the chancellor of the exchequer of communist Yugoslavia, wrote a book about in 1957 called The New Class, saying, we haven't gotten rid of aristocracy under communism. We've just recreated aristocracy as the Communist Party elite, the way they have under Xi Jinping in China, for example, or Mao. They have their own privileged aristocracy now. And they, of course, are stamping out things like free speech or guns in the hands of the people as rapidly as they can. And they're doing it all in the name of this godless religious alternative called progressivism or the left. It has to be godless because otherwise it has no authority of its own. So it has to destroy its competitors. Now, what have we seen? By the way, I was quoting a column I did in October 2019 called The Left Raises Hell for Real, about the ongoing movement that still continues among Democrats who call themselves witches or the like, to challenge Donald Trump by putting hexes and spells on him. This may seem innocent, the fun-loving act of Democrats who want America ruled by the minions of hell, the demons. But understand, they're actually quite serious about this. They want man to be the measure of all things, not God, not religion, not the Bible. If you look at some examples, Marxist Frankfurt School psychoanalyst Erich Fromm, F-R-O-M-M, referred to this in his 1966 book, You Shall Be as Gods. His title comes from what the serpent said in Genesis 3:5, telling Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. She, in other words, was the first one to become radically woke in the old sense. Community organizer Saul Alinsky, who was a figure of worship to both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, dedicated his 1971 book, Rules for Radicals, which is the Bible to these people, to, quote, the very first radical who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer. In other words, this classic left-wing book was dedicated to Lucifer. Draw your own conclusion. During the Vietnam War, novelist Norman Mailer and others tried to levitate the Pentagon. Bill and Hillary Clinton's administration created Wiccan chaplains in the U.S. military so that our soldiers had witches of the old pagan faith of Mother Earth and nature spirits to minister to them. Think about that. Your military right now has pagan witchcraft chaplains, thanks to Bill and Hillary Clinton. And that's what we have been facing in a lot of this. These people are quite serious about destroying God as to the best of their intention. A couple of quick things I'd like to remind you of in the current election. You think this is not continuing. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, said, "We brought the numbers down. God did not do that. Faith did not do that." He also blamed much of the outbreak on religious people gathering. This is the governor of New York who is being set up as the alternative president, the shadow president, by the media. His daily press things on the virus run right alongside Donald Trump, as if Cuomo were the president. In fact, I have a whole column about this coming out later this week. In any event, his brother, his younger brother, Chris Cuomo, who is on CNN, described his own experience with coronavirus when he was infected as giving him wicked phantasmagorial experiences that are not dreams. Think about it. Well, that's what he said. I gather he was getting a foretaste of his future eternity, given his left-wing politics.
Sounds like he was high, what it sounds like.
Of Antifa, the first people to put on their masks now required by the government, these people who would dress in black and then beat up people on the street who stood up for America or against communism. That's what the Antifites did. Cuomo then, after that experience in which he'd had put him out to visions of hell, briefly, in early mid-April, said that, "I don't value indulging irrationality, hyper-partisanship," complaining about his job.
Wow.
He had a little midlife experience, but then he quickly recanted, realizing he could lose a heck of a lot of money without his gig at CNN every day. So he continues to engage in irrationality and hyper-partisanship with people who disagree with him.
Lowell, are the Democrats going to kick Joe Biden to the curb and put Cuomo in there?
In a very subtle way, they're going to play what I call this later this week at WorldNet Daily, the Cuomo Gambit. In the Cuomo Gambit, you see, they don't dare just replace Biden with Cuomo as a candidate. If they did, people on the right and the left of the Democratic Party would look and say, the party bosses are rigging everything again. I mean, Cuomo didn't even run in the primaries. By what the hell right is he simply made president in place of the guy who won the primaries? So what they're going to do is make Cuomo vice president and have him run. He'll run with the clear understanding that Joe Biden isn't really going to serve out his first term. In fact, he might step down 10 minutes after taking the oath of office. But the important thing is Joe Biden will then plead illness, or maybe that he had a mild stroke. In any event, the Democrats will push a gambit whereby vice presidential candidate Cuomo will be the one who debates Trump Joe Biden will not be shred to hamburger, as Trump would do with Biden. He will be up against a fellow New Yorker, a tough, thug-like person who can stand there and slug it out with him like two rock'em sock'em robots. And if Trump tries to back out of such a debate, saying, why do I have to debate a vice presidential candidate? Cuomo will then just say he's a coward. He doesn't dare stand against me. Trump can't take a lot of that kind
this
of
makes, stuff. This makes way too much sense to me, what you're saying right now.
Oh, yeah. And it will be understood that Biden may be president in form, but he will not be making the policy. Cuomo and Nancy Pelosi will be the actual rulers.
Do you think this will work?
It's a long shot. It's a long shot. But you see, Biden cannot survive debating Trump. Trump will just annihilate him in a debate.
I don't know if he can survive a trip to Walmart, I mean, right now, but on his own. If he didn't have bodyguards with him everywhere, I don't know if he can make it through Walmart right now.
Yeah, and I mean, understand the liabilities that Biden brings to this. Not only is he semi-senile, which disqualifies him right there, but he has a long record of groping women. The press is trying to shield him from that.
Women?
He is requiring his female Secret Service agents to come watch him swim nude every day in the White House swimming pool. That must have been a real treat for them. No, he did. In addition to this woman who's accused him of directly groping her in ways too obscene to describe here. But Biden is not a nice person. He also has had five members of his family, not just his corrupt son who was thrown out of the military reserve for cocaine use, Hunter. Five members of Biden's family have gotten very rich from using his name or position. So, I mean, he's corrupt to his eyeballs. In a way, that makes him actually feel safer to me because it means he can be bought than an ideologue. I mean, Bernie Sanders would actually have believed a lot of the idiocy. He spoke as a pseudo-socialist.
Let me transition for a second. I mean, one thing we haven't talked about, you write a lot of books and works with Craig Smith. Y'all collaborate on a lot of things. Your latest work is a paper titled Protecting Your Wealth in Today's America, How You Invest Your Savings Requires New Thinking. I wanted to take some time to promote that. We have about 7 or 8 minutes left.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's an important topic.
Actually, what we'd like to discuss today is our free white paper. It's called The Secret War. To understand I don't know if they've put out this version yet, but there's a basic question for you, Daniel. Let's say you're walking around a shopping mall. It's almost a ghost town. Virtually nobody's there. You are now tired walking on that hard pavement. You see a bench across the way where you can go sit down for a while and rest. You get to the bench, and at one end of it, you see that somebody has left a piece of Kleenex that's wadded up. Do you touch the Kleenex?
Me? Absolutely not.
No, because it may have coronavirus in it. So you go to the other end of the bench, and there you find a $20 bill. And you grin, smiling, this is my lucky day. Do you pick up the $20 bill?
I see where you're going with this. Yeah, I would. Go ahead.
Yeah, the problem is they're both pieces of paper. And yet, as one epidemiologist has said, money is one of the filthiest things in our society. Researchers at New York University and elsewhere have found 3,000 different germs and viruses living on money, cash money. The COVID virus, by one expert's estimate, can live for 9 days and remain infectious if there's slight moisture, that is just enough to come from the moisture of your hand handling it, on a $20 bill. 9 days.
Well,
how many people's hands would that pass through as the economy opens and people begin buying and selling and going to yard sales and so on?
Well, you're basically telling me that they're going to be pushing to get rid of cash next, and that's what I've seen coming.
Yeah, they want to take the society cashless. And why do they want to take the society cashless? And they're getting ready to give you a big scare about how dangerous your money is, when in fact, as MIT, a technology review, reported, there have been virtually no documented instances of somebody getting coronavirus from handling infected money. Even though there is a great future industry for anybody who wants to start money laundering as a business.
Literal.
I mean, if you open a little store in the neighborhood called the Money Laundry, maybe it's a Chinese money laundry. Anyway, you go in and have them, as China has been doing, as South Korea has been doing, they will expose paper money to heat, and it doesn't take a whole lot, or to washing, or to cleaning with disinfectant, or to exposing to ultraviolet light. They can kill whatever's on your money if you have that opportunity. But that's something we've never really done much. In any event, once they go cashless, here's what would happen. Andrew Cuomo again, back to speaking of the devil, we go back to him. He has pushed banks in his state to say, you guys issue credit cards. I now am ordering you, on penalty of not getting government contracts, on penalty of being threatened by government regulation, in other ways that we can punish you, to modify your credit card so that if somebody goes into a gun store, they don't have cash anymore. It's been taken away from them as too dangerous. But if they pull out a credit card, they will not be able to buy a gun or ammunition using your company's credit card. In other words, like Michael Bloomberg, once you are forced only to credit, once you don't have cash or gold or anything else like that anymore, then they will control what you can and can't buy with your credit card. That's already being set up. By the way, that kind of thing is done in China now. In China, they have social credit. Or if you're overheard saying something bad about the government, they won't necessarily arrest you, but they'll change your social credit score in the computers, which are seen every time you try to buy anything. And if you have a bad social credit score, and you suddenly have a heart attack, and you need emergency surgery at the hospital, and you've paid into government medical care all your life, and you go to the hospital, they'll look at you and say, oh, I'm sorry, your credit score is too low to be treated here. You'll just have to go outside and die now. They have that already in place in China. They will limit your medical care, your travel, and a whole lot of other things based on your social credit score. And Cuomo is trying to do that right now in New York. Right now. That's what you need to understand. I mean, these are Democrats. You have a party that believes in an alternative religion called progressivism, which is
Luciferian,
a very close
let's
relative
be clear.
Of Nazism and communism.
Let's be clear. It's not progressive. It's Luciferianism is what it is. They want to take all your choice. That's Luciferianism. That's what Lucifer's plan is. Plain and simple. No more choice.
Well, I am neither a medical doctor nor a theologian, so I defer to you about that. But you can certainly see the left less and less inclined toward Judaism or Christianity and more inclined toward, well, let's face it, Satanism.
Yeah, that's control.
More
that's
and more giving their
control.
Lives over to occultism. And the problem you have there, as the old saying goes, when someone stops believing in God, that doesn't mean they believe in nothing. That means they'll believe in anything. And the anything in this case is the pseudo-religion of Marxism. Oh, by the way, have you noticed this endless attack on Donald Trump that they now launch? Oh, he advocates
chloroquine.
And he stands to profit from it. Well, the New York Times had a whole crew of investigative journalists to look into that, and they found that Trump's trust has invested $99 many, many years ago in a company that makes hydrochloroquine. The only catch is, and this is what I ask of the left to show just how satanic they really are, What Trump is trying to do is embrace a medicine that has already been approved and can be legally given for this virus. It hasn't been approved for the virus. It's been approved for malaria and other things. But the point is, it's a totally safe drug. And most important, it's a drug that can't be patented anymore. It was first invented in 1935, used by our troops in 1945, made totally illegal by the government in 1955. And it's if nothing else, it's utterly safe and very cheap. I mean, you can buy a whole bottle of this stuff for $30 or less. And therefore, this is what they accuse Trump of trying to make money on as a billionaire. A drug that can be bought for $30 a bottle. Big Pharma hates this. Big Pharma wants this drug to go away so they can sell their own drugs for $100, $500, $1,000 a bottle.
We got about 20 seconds before the music starts. Not even.
Okay, if you want to get the white paper that we're putting out, as I said, called The Secret War, you just call a toll-free number. It will not cost you a penny. Totally free, shipping free, everything. 800-630-1492, like the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's 800-630-1492.
Fantastic.
And we didn't even scratch all the documents I have in front of me. I'm shocked.
You're world-class,
There's
buddy.
So
world-class.
Much to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. God bless you and your work and your health and what you do with your family. We need your voice now more than ever. You can check it out, WorldNet Daily, among other things, and also the phone number. Ladies and gentlemen, so good to be with you. Dr. Group will be here tomorrow, and we're going to ask him about 5G. I think that'll be important also. Lowell, thank you so much, my friend, and God bless you.
God bless you, and thanks for your courage being a beacon of light.
That's very nice of you. Ladies and gentlemen, we want you happy, healthy, successful, and free, as God intends you. See you tomorrow.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.